Welcome to episode 100. Yes, that's right. Episode 100 of the Analog Assault Podcast. And this week, we're talking about Xbox Games, Showcase, and Ghost of Tsushima. So let's go.
You're listening to Analog Assault, a video game podcast by Mulehorn Gaming.
Analog Assault Podcast. We are on episode 100. Yes, that is right. 100. So welcome, guys. We have Dark Life, Radical, Scarecrow, and Primetime with us here tonight. What's up, guys?
Just another day in the life.
Another day in the life.
Too much.
Too much stuff.
Episode 100, baby. Mm-hmm.
We saw some stuff. We played some stuff, and we were ready to talk about it.
Oh, let's do it.
Do some stuff. Well, real quick, guys, before we get into what you guys have been playing this week, a little housekeeping. If you like the content here and you want to help support MHG, then smash that sub button right here on Twitch. And you can catch us live, the podcast here, every Thursday night at 8:30 p.m. Central Standard Time on twitch.tv/MuleHornGaming. So, dudes, before we dive into all this, we always ask, what you been playing, what you been watching, what you been doing?
Cool. Okay, I'll go.
Go ahead.
1, 2, 3. Well,
just like previous cast, I've been playing one game continuously and a lot of it. Instead of Assassin's Creed Odyssey, I know, right? It's been Ghosts of Tsushima.
Tsushima.
10/10, love it, can't stop playing it. And yeah, I'm already back in the mode of I have to clear the area before I progress. And I'm very much okay with that.
Truly.
Nice, man.
And watching some My Hero Academia when I can. I'm on season 3, episode 60-something. I thought season 4 would kick in by now, but apparently not. So
what part are you at right now?
Deku and Bakugo just had it out, and All Might came in to counsel them.
You got to see the one for all versus all for one.
Oh, yeah. That's like the...
United States of Smash.
Because I am here. It was good.
Right on.
So good.
Right on, man. What about all you little cats?
A little bit of this, a little bit of that. I don't know. Actually, I've been cutting down a little bit. I've been playing a lot of Fallout 76 this week. Even on by myself. Like, normally I'll play when Lupo or Bossa's playing, but I've actually been going in solo a bit this week. They've added to where you can basically create public teams so any rando on your server can join, and you get different bonuses for doing those. So basically, and also certain perks that are supposed to be active when you're in a group will trigger even when you don't have anyone in those public groups, but as long as you have one open, it'll work. So that's a benefit. Been still on PSO2 grind. Got some new stuff coming out for that soon. Then what else? Destiny, just more Destiny.
Right on, man.
Yeah, and I don't know. Oh, been, I don't know. Well, he's stepping away, but started a new, new to me series, relatively new series to me, It's actually, there's 3 different animes that are all in the same universe, so it's kind of cool. It's like the Marvel Cinematic Universe of this one series. Almost like I'm watching 3 different shows, but they're all taking place simultaneously from 3 different, like, groups of people's perspective at the same time, which is really interesting, and I'm trying, because some of them have gone further along than others, so I'm trying to stay away from spoilers on certain things, so it's pretty interesting. But for anyone who's wondering, like, I didn't even say the name. It's the Certain Magical Index, Certain Scientific Railgun, and Certain Scientific Accelerator are the 3 series.
Wait, those are all connected?
Yeah, they're all the same universe. They're actually all the characters, all 3 main characters from each series know each other, and they all live in the same city.
That's certainly a mouthful.
Yeah.
I got it, Thad.
Nice, nice. Well, what about you, Rad?
You know, when I'm on here, I usually say that my time has been spent playing Destiny. And since Friday, it has not been the case. Uh-oh. I did play some Destiny a little bit. I'm doing a charity event on my channel, and so I am trying to play Destiny for that reason, for my content, and because, you know, I like it. But I have also been participating in the absolute wonderfulness that is Ghost of Tsushima. And I don't know if I said that right. But it's gorgeous. I know we're going to talk about it, but it has blown me away. It's been a lot of fun. Husband and I are still working through X-Men animated series, which I really like. I have not started watching this yet. I watched it before, but some big TV news, if you can call it TV, some big streaming news is The Legend of Korra is coming to Netflix. So I'm very excited. I have watched that before. I watched it live back in the day. But I will definitely be doing a rewatch. I will go on the record and say I think I like Korra better than the Avatar, the original Avatar. Both phenomenal shows, but I think for me, I liked Korra a lot. You know, female protagonist, the whole thing. Yeah. Looking forward to that. Yeah. So if you guys haven't watched it, check out Avatar, you know, The Last Airbender, of course. Go watch that. But then do watch Legend of Korra. It's great.
So it's basically the sequel, right?
It's the sequel. So this is not a spoiler. So yeah, Korra, you know, is the new Avatar. And so it follows her story. But the thing, I think I liked it more because when I watched it originally, I was in college and she's an older protagonist. So she's like, you know, like a late teenager.
She's around that age, yeah.
Yeah, so it was kind of easier for me to connect. Although when I was watching Avatar, I was around that, you know, Aang's age, so... When I was 12, I liked Avatar. When I was 20, I liked Korra, and it is what it is. So, So that's what I've been doing. Lots of Tsushima. I had sushi the other day, and I was like, God, Jin would be so proud. This is great. I'm not going to say too much, but the haikus have touched me in such a way. So when we get there, I'll talk about it. But so that's what I've been doing.
What about you, Dorian?
Oh, damn. I wonder what I've been playing.
Call of Duty?
I don't know.
It's actually been more than Call of Duty lately, which has actually been nice. Oh, yeah. I know I did a review on Subliminal last week, and that was actually a really good game. It's on the website if anybody hasn't actually read the review. I actually started just randomly downloading things off of Game Pass since, you know, it's something we all have. And I started playing Sniper Elite 4, which I must say for like a change of pace type game, that game is actually incredibly good and really difficult, you know. Because, you know, you're used to playing video games where, you know, oh, the bad guy can't see me from 50 feet out. No, they forgot to tell them that they can only see from a certain distance. So they have, like, very realistic, you know, visual cones, which I wasn't used to in a video game. So you're sitting there, you're playing, you're like, all right, you know, I'm at least 30 feet out. This guy can't see me. No, there was a lot of restarting, a lot of having to time my shots to planes flying over and stuff like that. So it reminds me a lot of Hitman, which, you know, it's probably one of my favorite series. So I'm actually really enjoying playing that through when people aren't playing Call of Duty or doing something. As far as what I'm watching right now, I got sucked into starting Boruto because
you too.
I blame TikTok for it, for ruining some of the stuff, and I forgot how TikTok. They get to those points.
Hold on, that's coming to a phrase. I blame TikTok.
On TikTok. And I've been watching a hell of a lot of the relaunch of Unsolved Mysteries.
Okay. How is that?
It's really good. Like, it actually reminds me a lot of the original version of it, but a lot more cleaned up, but they kept the same style of presentation and stuff like that. So definitely worth watching.
Yeah. Okay.
Right on, man.
Awesome.
I played about this much. For you guys that are listening to audio, I'm like, that's like 2 inches worth of Destiny. And that was just from today. But the last 2 weeks, it's all been Ghost, man. It's just, I mean, we're going to talk about it more later, but that game is phenomenal.
It's very good.
Phenomenal. Mm-hmm.
Very good. Yeah.
I mean, there's very few games that feel so immersive. I don't want to get too much into it, but it's just...
I know.
We'll talk about it later.
We're chomping at the bit here, but yeah, no, for sure. Yeah. There's a lot of great things to talk about, and we are going to.
Yeah. But that's pretty much been it as far as watching shows. Wife and I have been working our way through Breaking Bad, and she's watched a few episodes now without me, and I think she's got 4 or 5 left. I've seen it before, but she hasn't. So
okay. She like, almost done left?
Yeah, she sent me a GIF the other day of when Hank took the book off of the bathroom and saw it and opened it up and saw that it was addressed to who it was addressed to and everything. And she was like, oh my gosh. Yeah, that's pretty much been up yet for me. It's in a lot of Ghosts, a very small amount of Destiny. But
Destiny, I mean,
what is
that game?
Yeah, right. There is something that was shown today, and that's on the Xbox Games Showcase. And that's let's just start it out, because they started out with it. Halo!
Yep,
Halo.
Dude.
Mm-hmm.
Dude. So tell me, I'm sure there's lots of thoughts. Tell me, what do you think?
I'm ready for a Halo open world.
Mm.
That's what sold me.
Really?
I mean,
they've mentioned in the past, early on when they first announced it, that it was going to be more open. They wanted to do more open world. And I always thought, like, okay, you can want that, but no other Halo game has done that. So it's going to be a big change if they do. So I was 50-50 on if they were actually going to do it, but then what they showed off today, I was actually really, really surprised and really excited. It's definitely looking a lot more like, almost like a Destiny-type open world, where you're going to have areas, probably, that are explorable, go through your stories, different things like that. I don't know about you guys, but when I first saw it, like, when they first started the demo, what they did, I was a little disappointed in the graphics at first. It just looked a lot dumbed down compared to the other 343 Halos that we've had.
Hmm.
But then I'm like going through it. Going through it, it gave me more of the old school Halo vibes, though. And I like that now I'm all on board. I like that they went back to the original Mjolnir armor.
Yeah.
The grappling hook, cool, but kind of doesn't fit quite. But we'll figure it out.
So I wanted to touch on that because, again, mm-hmm. watching it from a technical aspect of a game developer type thing, it's not that it looks worse. It's you're actually looking at what ray tracing is. The fact that not all metals need to be shiny, and that specific metal is a flattened gun metal, mm-hmm. can tend to come off when you're looking at it as, oh, you know, that's a bit dull as compared to other things. Where what you're going to start seeing more as you play that game, you're going to see more of a contrast in actual tones and metals and rocks looking closer to what they would look like with light bouncing off of them properly. Like it's a matte, like think like an army truck, like the way an army truck will look, there's no shine to it. It's literally mm-hmm. just like a flat metal type thing. Yeah. And when I saw that, like my first thing was like, oh shit, they pulled that off. Like they've never been able to pull that off. It's either been, you know, we're going to go really high because it's metal and, you know, mm-hmm. technically in gaming, you know, metal has to have like a very high reflex in, you know,
right.
light bounce and stuff like that. And now it's perfectly subduing that. But when you look at the same scenes and you looked at his armor versus some of the guns he was holding, and I don't mean like the Marine Corps guns, but watch when he picks up like the alien rifles. Like those are more exotic, so they had a lot more shine to them. You saw a lot more picked up in the actual you know, look to the actual item. So like, it's, that's amazing to have that much contrast and things like that. Like, that was insane to see that.
And I didn't quite necessarily mean like just shine. Like Halo 4 and Halo 5, definitely they had a different art style. The Mjolnir armor was much different, much more, had a lot more detailed, like, little bits and pieces to it. And I know a lot of people at first when Halo 4 came out, they didn't like that. I was one of those at first, but then I kind of just got used to it. They were a lot different. Now, this is going more old school Halo, more Bungie Halo, in my opinion. And I really like it.
Yeah, I thought the same thing. I was kind of like, this looks great. I've actually not played as much Halo as probably some of the viewers and listeners and even you guys, but I have played it. I am very familiar with it, but I also was kind of watching it like, this is an Xbox Series X game. Now, you know, with that input of how it is supposed to kind of look more like the older games, not look like, but feel like the older games, that makes sense. But also I read someone's take on that on Twitter, someone random. I have no idea whoever you are. Thank you for your take. but it was basically like, you know, this isn't a game that is supposed to break, if you will, the Xbox. You know what I mean? Like some of these games that are coming out, like Horizon, sticks out to me, like, that is supposed to be this stunning, like, just like Tsushima, right? Like, it's supposed to be this stunning, beautiful experience that is testing the power of these consoles. I don't know if that's what Halo's going for. I think Halo is going to look beautiful because it's on these new consoles, and these new platforms. But I think that it is supposed to be sort of pulling from what it looked, you know, what it felt like when in Halo 2. Yeah. And so I think that I liked what that person said. It was like, okay, this is not necessarily supposed to be like every inch of grass in Tsushima. I'm like, I got to get a photo of this right now. I don't know if that's what Halo's going for.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that makes sense.
And
when you said it kind of has that old school feel, that's exactly what I got from the demo presentation. The falling in the dropship crashing, the opening of the dropship pod is just like Halo Combat Evolved. I'm like, what? What?
Yeah.
Feels are so much there.
Mm-hmm. Even the box covers from that, the new Halo, from the first Halo and the new Halo, it's almost exactly the same. There's a few differences, but it's very, very, very similar. And in kind of like what I'm thinking, like when you're talking about the grappling hook and stuff like that, Crow, I think that's why they showed us at the beginning his armor being like reforged. Like it's new armor that was being put together. So they're doing some upgrades. They're kind of making it a little bit better to fit their purposes that they need. One of those includes a grappling hook, because I think part of the reason why we're seeing that is because you notice at the very start he sprints. Like there's a little sprint when he moved. I think they're trying to speed Halo up in the single player sense a little bit, trying to get it a little more on par with the speed of other games. Because like my son is really excited. I'm finally letting him play Halo. He's 9. I'm like, it's a little, like there's some things in there he probably is going to, like the language and things like that. But I was like, I think you're ready for Halo. You know, he's a pretty mature little dude. And he was playing it, and I was watching him play it, and I was like, man, you move slow in that game, in the first Halo.
Yeah, you do.
And it's progressively gotten a little bit faster, but I think that's probably they had to kind of speed the game up a little bit to fit modern games. So the grappling hook is just a cool thing.
That does make sense, because like Halo 4 and Halo 5 were the first ones that you could sprint.
Yeah.
And then Halo 5, they just kind of went a little crazy almost with the mobility. You had your shoulder charge, basically you had your
burst,
your dive smash that you could do, ground pound type thing. And that was really cool, but that wasn't in the other Halos.
Yeah.
And this is kind of dialing it back, but then giving us something else to keep it on pace.
Sure.
Now,
I can see that.
Do you think these abilities you mentioned that have been dialed back from something that we will acquire as the game goes along?
I don't know. It's a little different because we saw the deployable like shield, the forward shield. That's kind of more reminiscent of like back in Halo 3 where you had the gear that you could drop, like the bubble.
Yeah.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Different things. We're definitely not getting armor lock, thank God.
Yeah. I mean, I noticed...
At least that we've seen.
When I was looking at it, the grappling hook and the shield were on the bumper. When you're looking at the HUD, they're on the bumper. So it makes me think maybe mm-hmm. those are going to be equipable items. So maybe the mm-hmm. grapple hook is something you equipped to your armor right. so that you can use it and you can replace it with something else.
You know? Maybe it looked more like maybe that was the default item. And then
yeah.
he picked up the barrier and that's like he was holding that. And then you can't yeah. use... Maybe you can't use the grappling hook until you use your other item.
Yeah.
The controls were funky. Whoever was doing that had them all weird, in my opinion.
Southpaw.
It was something weird because like left trigger was something funky. I don't remember what it was, but I was looking at it and just the controls were not normal.
Yeah, it just makes me think if, you know, they're going to have items like that you can kind of equip, if they're going to add a little bit more depth. Because, like, when you were talking about the open world part, Prime, I noticed the map was sectional. So I don't know if it's really going to be open world. Like, it may be sections that are open, kind of like if you yeah. went into, like, a Destiny Strike or something like that. I think they'll probably still make it linear, but they'll have, like, sections of the map that you have to do certain things in that's kind of open for you to do whatever.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure we'll be able to explore the entire ring, but in sections, like you mentioned, I mean, if it's completely open world, that's huge.
Yeah, yeah. Huge but game. Yeah.
Think about multiplayer on that. If you did open world Halo single player with friends dropping in.
Yeah.
Or with a map that big, you know what that shit's about to happen? You're going to see Halo VR, I promise you. Mm-hmm. It's coming.
Probably.
Oh, snap. Or
what was it? Firefight that comes back from ODST? So that would be freaking awesome. Yeah.
Okay.
What I want to know with the Master Chief collection going to PC is if this is going to be crossplay. I wonder if they're going to push it to where you can do, like, if you can play on PC. I know it's going to be console exclusive, but I'm mm-hmm. wondering if they're eventually going to bring it to PC and let anybody play, like, kind of like Sea of Thieves or something like that, you know?
I think that Bungie, in both of their, you know, titles now with, you know, with Halo and then also with...
Bungie doesn't make Halo.
I know, but, well, okay, you're right. But the whole thing behind it, right, like, everybody's moving towards crossplay. I was going to say, you're right. After I said it, I was like, wait, Bungie doesn't make Halo anymore. But
343, yeah.
Yeah, 343 does. But, like, Bungie has, when they started it, I think mm-hmm. ever since then they've been really pushing for crossplay and everything. Bungie's already going, you know, they want to move that direction with Destiny. And 343 is going to move that direction, too. I think everyone is going to try and get on the crossplay. You know,
yeah,
Brigade.
And I actually, anywhere.
Yeah, so. Right, exactly. And so I think that, I said last year, I think, is when we really started getting a lot of information about Xbox just expanding beyond just being a console. You know, you can play Xbox on your PC now. It's just going into the Xbox Companion app and accessing the PC, you know, library. They're making it so easy to play crossplay. With somebody on PC, obviously mm-hmm. the other playing with somebody on Steam, playing with somebody on PlayStation is going to be difficult. I know that doesn't apply to Halo, but just in general. But Xbox games, yeah, they're all going to be, if you can play it on PC through your Xbox Companion app, you can play with somebody on console. 100%.
Most likely, yeah. Yep. They definitely seem to be trying to go for the anything that is within their like first party or their studios that they work with. They are trying to do at the bare minimum, like cross save,
yeah.
Or cross play, or play, or what their term, play anywhere.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and this kind of segues us into the next thing. But the big thing I saw that was really exciting is they talked about 4K and 60 frames on the console. And I was like, mm-hmm. dude, if they can do that on console, I will go back to playing more games on console. just because, like, when you're playing something like Halo 5 feels all right because it's already, I think, it most times it's at 60, if not mm-hmm. higher. Higher than 30. I know it's higher than 30, but I think it's 60. But if they showed a few other games that were like running at 120 on the Xbox, if they can get even Halo up to 100 frames per second, that's a game changer, dude. That is a game changer. Because segueing into Destiny 2, we showed Destiny 2. They said the same thing. It will be 60 frames per second on the Xbox mm-hmm. Series X. And I was just like,
yeah.
Not only 60, yes, 4K as well.
4K as well. Yeah.
They specifically said 4K, 60 frames per second on Xbox Series X.
For yeah. Halo,
or for Destiny.
For Destiny.
They were like, you can do the boat.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it wasn't like a, you can do 4K but sacrifice the frames. No, you can do both. Like, because mm-hmm. that was like a big ho-hum about PlayStation with Spider-Man. It's like, oh, you can do 4K, but then it's down to 1080. Or, I mean, so many frames, you get 30 frames. But this is saying you can do both.
Yeah. They're essentially building a PC that's going to be a console. I mean, that's what they're doing. I mean,
pretty much.
And it's, you know, I've never been someone who's like gung-ho about the PlayStation or excuse me, the console wars, because play what you like. I mean, there's no point in harassing people about what's better, you know, play what you want. But, you know, if Microsoft is going to be able to produce a console that does this, Sony is going to have to respond. And that's not a console war thing. That's just a business thing. I mean, they're going to they're just going to have to do that.
Yep.
That is a big announcement. It's big news. You know, it'll be interesting to see like what's involved in that. You know, I don't have an Xbox One X because I don't have a 4K TV. Is an Xbox Series X going to rely on people having a 4K TV for us to experience it in 4K? I think, you know, that is something that's important to consider, because even if you have the thing, it doesn't mean it's going to do it. You know, stuff like that. So, just something to keep in mind. But that shouldn't dissuade people from getting it. It's going to be pretty anyway. So,
in my opinion,
the X right now, the current Xbox One X, you were saying like you don't have one because you don't have 4K TV. It doesn't require 4K. It'll upscale the 1080, so it looks a bit better even on that. Right. So I bet that the Series X will probably do something very similar to that.
Absolutely. I'm sure it will. Yeah.
Not everyone's going to have a 4K.
No, of course. That dissuaded me just because I was like, I already have a working Xbox. Why am I going to update? Like, it looks fine. I don't know any better. And then I went to PC. But, you know, like, that dissuaded me. But I think for people who are, you know, going to be buying consoles and stay on consoles, this is a big push for people to say, I'm going to get the console with the better quality that I don't have to sacrifice anything, you know, to have both. It's the best of both worlds.
And I'm just going to put this out here for all my console buddies, is that frames over 4K. I would rather have frames per second than 4K, because I'm telling you, it makes a huge difference. Even at 1080, if you're running at 100 frames per second or 144, it's a totally different game. Like, that's why I play Destiny on PC now.
Yeah.
Because the frames are just amazing. Amazing. It's like butter when you play it on PC. And Xbox is throwing up these frames per second. I could care less if it's in 4K. I mean, I got a 2K monitor, so it doesn't really matter. But still, if I can get 60 to 100 frames per second in some of these games, or 120 like they showed on one of the games, I'm sold. I'm going to trade in my Xbox X for the new Series X when I can, because I'm sure they'll have some sweet deals.
I'm sure.
And I'll be playing Destiny 2 on console again. So, Gagne and other people who play on Xbox, I'm coming back, baby.
You guys can have him. I'm going to stay on PC.
So what y'all think about Destiny 2 with all the new shebang?
Oh,
the guy who doesn't play Destiny, that looked pretty badass. But I'm not a player.
The news that came with all that beautifulness, like, you know, we could break down all the stuff we saw in that, you know, for hours. Yeah. But, well, I mean, like with the new supers and everything, the stasis stuff, the ice, I had somebody I'm not going to say somebody. I'm going to throw her name out there. I had my girl Volkasmic. We were chatting during that, and she's like, "Did we know that we could throw ice walls in Crucible? What is happening? What is happening?" And so I'm really looking forward to that. I know our boy Underdog is going to be, you know, working on breaking down a lot of that. And actually, I shouldn't even admit this, but I had adulting to do while that was going on. It just worked out that way, and I missed a very big chunk of that, and like initially, and so I came back to Volcasmic like freaking out, and I was like, "What did I miss? God, I had to adult. I'm so sorry." So I had to go back and watch it, and I still, you know, there's still so much to break down. But I think the biggest thing from that, yes, the gameplay is beautiful. I'm super stoked for the story. I love the Exo Stranger. I'm really looking forward to that. But I think the biggest thing out of the whole thing is the fact that it's all going to Game Pass. I mean, that is a huge piece of information.
Huge.
That is absolutely huge. Bonkers. Huge. It's going to be huge. I don't know if you guys know that, what I'm quoting there. Doesn't matter. Okay. There's a car salesman.
Very, very bigly.
Very bigly. Yeah. No, there's a car salesman here who goes, "It's going to be huge," and it's really obnoxious. Okay. So, yeah. And so at first I was confused. I didn't quite know what was going to be on Game Pass, but in September, everything, you know, up to Shadowkeep or through Shadowkeep will be on Game Pass, and then Beyond Light will be on Game Pass, but not all of the seasonal content. So
yeah, season pass you still have to purchase. Yeah,
correct. Yeah, and so it's amazing. That is as Mama says there. That is huge, huge. It's very big.
Yeah.
That's
a smart business decision.
That's I mean, like I said, go ahead. I'm done.
Taking it from somebody who hasn't played in a long time, who people have still been asking, like Mule, for me to come back and play again. Like, you turn around and now you bring it onto Game Pass, which everybody will admit is game changing, and it's forcing everybody to look at things differently. Mm. You just gave all the DLC, and you're giving out the beginning to the next expansion. You're going to have people hooked to a point where they're going to want
to buy it.
I need to know what comes next.
Yep.
Know what's going on. And, you know, it brings the people who are like, you know what, I didn't feel like paying for that, or maybe I didn't want to get into it, or maybe they just never got into it in the first place.
Yeah.
Well, the game was free. Now, if you're on Xbox, you know, you're getting all that stuff for free as long as you have, you know, at Game Pass Ultimate. Damn smart. It was a smart play to pull that off.
Agreed.
Yeah. Strategery.
And it goes back into that business decision of, hey, here's another reason why I should come over to Xbox, because we have, you know, we have this for you. You know,
the subscription services are changing the game.
Yes, they're changing everything.
I read an article. We talked about this on the live stream earlier today, but there was an article that said Xbox revenue is up 64%
just with
subscription services. And so this is kind of a little offshoot here with the convo about Destiny and stuff, but that leads me, and I want to hear what you guys think, that leads me to think they're going to price the Xbox Series X very, very competitively. Mm-hmm. And I think that means probably $499, which if it is,
everyone will
buy it. Everyone's
When they, I kind of mentioned this a little bit ago, but last year when they really started being very vocal about the fact that they are becoming more like a subscription service, it was very clear to me that they were no longer counting on game sales and console sales for their business. That is not where they do their business anymore. They do their business, I mean, it's Microsoft, so they've been doing business for a long time, but like in terms of gaming, you know, they're not, the consoles are the consoles, whatever. You know, that's why they're doing all the smart delivery stuff. The smart delivery is genius. You're telling me that if I buy a game on my Xbox One and I upgrade to Xbox Series X, I could just have that game? That's amazing, because they don't, that's not where they're making their money anymore. They're just like Netflix, right? They're making their money off of millions and millions of people paying every single month for a service. And it's like, great. It's butter to them. You know what I mean? So it's absolutely changing everything, and I think it's brilliant.
Yeah. Just attack onto that. They also did it in such stages that they got people hooked. Here, look at this Game Pass Ultimate. Here's $1.
Yes.
Or, hey, by the way, this Game Pass, it's $9.99. Xbox Live is $9.99 or whatever have you. I don't know if anybody's noticed, but they removed the ability to buy Xbox Live by itself.
Yes.
Like, that's gone. Yes. Like, the whole buying Xbox Live is gone. So now you look at it to a mule saying, you know, it's going to be $4.99. He's right, because now they're going to go, it's $4.99, but if you give us $15 a month, you have all this stuff you can play with it.
Right. Yeah.
On whatever the hell you want.
As a parent, like your kid's like, hey, I want to play Halo. Okay, here's $15. You get it. All these other games too. 200 plus games. Mm-hmm. There you go.
Yeah, do whatever the hell you want.
I mean, look at Fable. I know you're going to bring this up. We got a little tiny taste of Fable, and they're like, it's going to be starting on. It's going to be starting on
Game Pass.
On Game Pass.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's just they don't even care. Pass. They don't even. It's like, yeah, everything just go on Game Pass.
Show is Game Pass.
Yeah.
No, it's I know. Incredible.
You're on Game Pass. You're on Game Pass. You're on Game Pass.
It's the Oprah video game.
Yep.
The Oprah video games. They just call it Oprah. You know what I mean? Like,
that's the other thing that's going to excel that. We all know, as much as we want to fight it, that games are going to go up to $70. Just the cost of making games itself. It's like the biggest.
It's not going to matter when you're paying $15 a month, right?
Yeah. You're paying, you don't want to pay $70 for this one game? Hey, if you give me $15 a month, you can have, again, all these games.
All these games.
I think it's like Phil and Xbox are smart in their marketing, and that they know individual games are going to have to be $70 plus micros in the game. And they're like, look, people will be more app. Like, like, for example, if I was Rare and they came up to me and they say, hey, Rare, put your game on Game Pass with this, and we'll give you a share of revenue or whatever, some subs. But because people don't have to pay, don't feel like they're paying for the game, you're still going to be like, oh, that skin in the new Sea of Thieves DLC is like $10. I'll buy it.
Call me out here, Mule.
I have to pay for this game. I'll throw them
like
a couple.
You're on Destiny, and you're like, look at that cool Sparrow. Oh, yeah. That's $3.
That's where the money is.
I'll buy it, you know? It's like, it's such smart marketing, man. I mean, it just, it's so smart. Because when you can get that price down, everyone buys it, you know?
Yeah.
It is business at its finest. Could this work? Yeah. Okay, never mind. We're closing that.
Yeah.
I was going to look at something on Microsoft, but it's not working, so it's fine. but yeah, it's amazing marketing. I think that if you force me to talk about a console war, that in itself is going to kill Sony. Sony has to do something like that, or everyone's going to be like, why would I pick a PlayStation? Yes, there's amazing exclusives, 100%. You know why?
They've never answered to it.
There is no answer from
Sony on Game Pass, and still executives from the top still believe that it's a joke, that it's not going anywhere.
And they're going to be proven wrong.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm it's not going to flip again.
The PlayStation to go away. You definitely do not want that to go away.
No, you don't.
Both consoles to stay there, but
you don't. Yeah,
they're not in the generation if they don't change.
The whole reason I have a PlayStation is for the exclusives, but that doesn't make me feel like I have to upgrade it to the PS5 because I can still play it on my PS4, you know? So it's correct.
I'm only going to be upgrading to the PS5 when Horizon comes out. I will get one, play Horizon, and that's just a personal thing, but that's the only reason I have PS4. I got gifted a PS4 with Horizon because I cried every night because I couldn't play it. It worked. It works. hey, thanks, Hubs. But yeah, no, I mean, like, there's no reason to get one if they can't compete with what Xbox is doing. And I mean, it's the same, even Steam is Steam, like PC is PC. That's going to just be there. But, you know, in terms of consoles, like, PlayStation has to do something. They have to.
Yeah.
Lupo Microsoft says, wow.
Listen, literally Lupo, changing the game. And,
I mean, the one plus with PlayStation is you don't have to have like a subscription service to play their games. Like, you can still get online, things like that. So there's still some bonuses for PlayStation.
There's some, of course.
Online what?
I'm playing Ghost. Like, you can digitally download games and get onto the internet on your PS4 without having a subscription service.
You can do that on Xbox.
You can do that on Xbox.
You can do an Xbox, too. You just can't play multiplayer on either.
I don't think you can connect to the internet unless you have a subscription service.
Then how would you get the subscription service?
You have to have a profile with them, but you don't have to pay to connect your Xbox to the internet.
correct. They pulled everything out from behind the paywall aside from multiplayer.
So they pulled it out so you can actually buy games online too.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
The only thing behind the paywall now on both consoles is multiplayer play. That's the only thing still behind the paywall. Netflix is not behind it. Nothing is behind the paywall anymore.
I actually know somebody who does not have Xbox Live who played Destiny.
Okay, gotcha.
He just couldn't like connect with it, do anything with anyone. He actually got into Destiny and played the whole thing.
Okay, that's cool then. I didn't know that. That's awesome.
Yeah.
And Frame, thank you for that sub, man. Just want to call you out on the podcast. Appreciate that, brother. So what other games, I mean, Fable, what other games did you see? Because we're kind of getting along with it on the Xbox part.
Yeah. I'm following the script.
I'm looking. Honestly, from what I saw from the thing, Medium looked really good. I know a lot of people were excited for Warhammer. Crossfire X actually looked interesting, which the multiplayer, open multiplayer, didn't look interesting. The story actually looked really good, so... I want to see more from Forza. I want to see more again from Hellblade. Avowed, I definitely want to see more from that. Like,
I want to know what that is.
Avowed, I missed. I have to go back and watch that. I didn't even see it because I was
Very curious about that.
Yeah.
For me, it feels like they're still going back and forth at Bethesda because when they did their last game, it was like, oh, you won't let us do Fallout. Like, the hell with you. We'll make this game. So this looks like they're going to be like, oh, we can do Skyrim too. So we'll see how this
is
works.
Is that a Bethesda
out.
Game?
Cool.
No, it's Obsidian.
No.
Oh,
it's,
okay. Yeah, okay. Obsidian.
Which is former Bethesda.
Oh, okay, okay. I'm
for
just
me,
silently waiting.
Psychonauts and Stalker were insane. Like, that's longtime fans of both those games from the original when they first came out.
Yeah.
Aside from that, it's just I'm just glad there was such variety at the damn show. You know, Dragon Quest that came out in the pre-show.
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't just like, oh, you know, everybody wanted to be, why didn't we see Gears? Why didn't we see... Dude, they have 15 damn companies. Show me something from the other people you own. Mm-hmm. And that's what they did. They were like, all right, you know, we got Halo. We know we got Halo there. And we have Fable that bookended the show. And they filled the rest of it with, like, look at all the other stuff that we can offer you. And I loved seeing that. I
thought it was great. Yeah.
Yeah.
I really liked the look of Everwild. You just give me cell shading. Yeah. And I'm pretty much sold. It looked beautiful. I was literally sitting here like,
that is
I don't know what it is. I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing in it.
It's like Sea of Thieves on land.
It looked like a studio.
I don't know.
I truly have
no idea what it's supposed to be. I didn't get it. I only got a Sea of Thieves vibe because of the artwork, but I didn't get a Sea of Thieves vibe like with gameplay. I literally hopped into Discord and I was like, I'm covering this for the end of time. I don't know what it is, but it looks really pretty, and I'm looking forward to seeing what it is. That one definitely stood out to me. Of course, the Destiny stuff. Yes, I'm playing Ghost a lot, but I'm still the Destiny gal. Halo, you know, I like Halo. I'm not like a huge Halo fan, but you know, Halo's very important for gaming, so I'm certainly interested in that.
Yeah.
And Fable's another one. As soon as it started, like with the narrating, I was like, "This is totally Fable." I know everyone's gonna be excited. I actually have not played a lot of Fable. I tried playing it when I first
who are we on the show with? What is wrong with you people?
No, listen to me.
Thank you,
First of all, this is so typical of men. No, I'm just kidding. I'm trying to talk and I'm just being spoken over. No, I'm just messing with you guys. So when I started playing video games, I was not very good. We had this discussion once, and I was like, "What do? I run around." No, I'm pretty good at video games now. And I was like, "Let me try this Fable game. It's free on Xbox." And I was like, "I can't. I don't know what I'm doing." So I think if I went and played Fable now, I'd really enjoy it, and I'd probably be much better at knowing how to do a video game. So I'm excited for it. I can't wait to see what's going on with it.
It was like Mule playing Witcher 3. I don't know what I'm doing.
I knew how to play Witcher 3. And Witcher 3, I can't... I think that Mule should leave because he's not played Witcher 3.
I played it for about 3 hours. And
I played
3 hours of it. So
I'm done.
The prologue is like 3 hours.
How many times are we going to go over this? How many times... Until you finish it. It just doesn't draw me in. I don't know what's going on. It's just not something that grabs me, man. You got it. Okay.
Doesn't like good games. Okay.
You got to play Fable. You got to play Fable. It's
I have no qualms with Fable. I just never played it. Yeah, I played 2, I think, once, and I was like, meh, I'll go back and play it. Let me come back on the podcast. Okay, this is all I have.
You're going to play Fable, then come back and talk to us about it. Not right now.
Yeah.
But yeah.
But tomorrow.
So
I got to finish Tsushima first, man.
let's talk about that. Let's talk
before
about
Ghost. Wait, one thing before we go to Ghost, and I know none of you really care about it, but I really care. PSO2 New Genesis is coming next year. I am super excited. I was talking on Twitter with some people about, like, Lupo was saying, oh, for tomorrow, what do you guys think we're going to see? What do you hope to see other than Halo? And I was like, well, I really want to see the new... what they're going to be coming out with for in August of PSO2. Mm-hmm. I got freaking the new content even better. So, like, I had one guy on Twitter that I was not really happy with. He's, like, yelling at us, like, no, this is some new game. I was right. Oh, but whatever. But PSO2 New Genesis, the next installment for it, it's not a new game. It is, from what we know so far, it is basically kind of like the new season or the new expansion for it. But boy, does it look pretty compared to the current game. Current game looks really good compared to the original. I know they remastered it when they brought it to the US. But boy, does New Genesis look good. And maybe I can convince some other people to play it. Come and try it out when that comes out.
Maybe. While you were saying that, Crow, I had to pull up how much time I actually played.
I see that.
And I don't know if you guys can see this on stream. 25 hours on Witcher. I gave it its fair chance.
Rookie numbers. I gave it
its fair chance.
That is, for Witcher, that's set, like,
idle. And
I gave it a fair chance.
Yeah, you could have sat idle looking at Yennefer. I mean, what? Sorry. What?
Didn't you get stuck
one
time?
You didn't even get to her yet.
The werewolf area.
No, well, she's at the beginning.
Nate says, how many times did I start it over? Like 3.
Terrible.
So Ghost, almost 30 hours, 10 hours a piece on those restarts?
Probably. So, guys, Ghost, what do you get?
Ghost. I mean,
okay. Let me just say, I've put in probably about 45 hours now in the game. And... Mm-hmm. I just did a mission in Act 2. I'm getting closer to Act 3. And, dude, there's just moments where you feel like an amazing, mythical samurai. And, like, you start out as a samurai, and as you progress, you just feel like you're becoming this mythical, legendary samurai. And it feels so freaking good, dude. The combat's amazing. The cinematics, the... UI in the game where, like, it's just very minimalistic. It is probably one of the best games I've played. I think I've said this earlier, probably top 7 or so. It's probably within my top 3 to 4 now. It's that freaking good. It's,
pass God of War?
Yeah. I would pass God of War with me.
Mm-hmm.
It's that good. It just, oh man. I mean, I'll let you guys talk, but I'm going to just, like, gush this whole time.
Yeah, I gotta say it's my new hook. I can't stop playing it. I can't stop completing it. And my goodness, I have never photo-moded a game so much than this game.
How many times have you tweeted photos, Prime?
My Twitter feed that I see is just like between you and Mule.
And then I have a lot of people that I follow that do the exact same thing. I'm like, I can't. Well, one. Sharing on social is like the only way you can do it on PlayStation. So there's that. But my goodness, the options are amazing to make on photo mode. And then when I saw SMG Mad Dog's Uber skills,
oh,
I'm like,
yeah,
I got to do that. So I had to up my skills to match his. And I am in Act 2. I completed one of the 3 main quests in there. And I had to go back and complete the bottom portion of the map. It has to be clear.
It has to be.
Need to do all the things.
Yeah.
That alone It's just so much fun. And then I get into a side quest or a main mission, like, oh, this is awesome.
I feel like the side quests are so meaningful and impactful in the game. Like, there's so many moments that you're just like, dude, that hit me right in the freaking feels.
Right.
Like, holy crap. Like,
and here's the thing. Assassin's Creed and Assassin's Creed and The Witcher, a lot of the side quests had nothing really to do with the main story.
Right.
But these side quests absolutely have something to do with the main story. Yeah. They all tie in.
Yeah.
And it makes it even better.
Yeah.
Makes it even better.
I think for me, you know, I can only echo that. I agree with you. I'm in a little bit of a bind because I need to finish. I don't have to finish, but I need to play more of the main story so I can accurately write a review tomorrow. But I enjoy these games so much. I've talked on the stream before about how these really, these are the games that made me a gamer and really appreciate the art of gaming. After the prologue, when you first meet Yuna and you go your separate ways, and I started crying when I was playing, and the music starts, and you ride out into that field of the yellow leaves, and you see the map. I literally was crying. I mean, it was my heart was pumping. Like, I was just like, this is so beautifully done. You know, something we talked about very briefly before stream started was the immersion. I wrote about that in the first article I did for before First Impressions, and then I wrote about it a little bit in my First Impressions article. But the immersion is just so beautifully done. Like, the absence of the HUD is just stunning. Yeah. I mean, when you really just have to rely on the wind and the songbirds.
All you need is the wind.
All you need is it's Pocahontas, man. It's just the colors of the wind. You know what I mean? Like,
the
sparrow,
like, you're good.
And the fox.
The foxes.
You know the foxes now. Foxes.
And you gotta pet them. No, you gotta make sure you pet them.
Also, it's interesting because, like, the foxes, you know where foxes are because they're under a yellow tree with butterflies in it, and you can see one of those and say, oh, there's a fox over there. And if you, you know, as soon as I went out into that field, one of the first things I did was saw a question mark, and I rode over to it, and I was like, yeah, let's do this thing. I'm going to be a badass samurai. Let's go. I sat down and I wrote a haiku, and I was blown away by the haiku thing. I didn't know that was going to be in the game, and I just sat there and was just in awe. I was just like, oh my God, this is so peaceful.
Yeah.
I just really appreciate all of the attention to detail in that game. There's nothing in there by mistake. Every single thing in that game has a purpose. And just to share a very brief anecdote, and then I'll be done. I had a client. For those of you who don't know, I'm a counselor. I work with individuals with disabilities. And one of my clients who I was working with recently, he's on the autism spectrum. And I was talking with him and his mom on the phone. And I know he likes video games. And his mom knows that I shared with him that I like to play video games. And his mom said, oh, Rachel, I just, you know, my son won't tell you this, but I want you to know that he started playing this new game that came out and you have to hear about it. And I said, okay, yeah, that's great. So the client speaks up and he says, I've been playing Ghost of Tsushima and it's just one of the greatest experiences ever. And I said, man, I've been playing it too. And I can't stop playing it. I made it, you know, I was kind of kidding. And I said, I had to pull myself away from it just to call you. And he said, oh, that's good. I had to pull myself away from it just to talk to you. It's just one of those things. It's amazing how it transcends, how gaming transcends. And I said to him, I don't know if you feel this way, but even the combat is peaceful. Like, the seamless moving between stances is just so relaxing. Like, yeah, I'm chopping a guy to bits, but it's like, yo, stone stance, yo, water stance, you know, moon. Yeah, it's wind. Oh, it's just so great.
And the standoffs you can do. That's like,
oh, the standoffs are also fun. Amazing. Amazing.
Wait until you unlock it and you can do at least 3 to 4 standoffs.
Oh, I do it already. I have it already. Yeah. It's great.
Oh,
and the chain assassinations.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, so good. Far Cry. Very similar to Far Cry.
I'm not going to spoil it, but I'm going to say there's a moment in Act 2 where you gain another ability that you can only get while playing the story mission. And any of you viewers or anybody watching on YouTube later on, if you've gotten to this point, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Fake that's in chat knows what I'm talking about. But there is a moment where I'm literally, like, as I'm playing it, I'm like sitting here and I've been teetering with, like, man, this is going to be like top three for game of the year because you got Cyberpunk, you got Halo, all these other games that are going to be coming out. And yeah. After that mission, I was like, I think this is my game of the year. It was that good. I had like goosebumps from head to toe. I was just like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. My wife's like looking at me like I'm crazy. And I'm like, this is amazing. This is fantastic. And so for like for me, I think I'd probably have to give it like a 9.8.
And the for the same reason I would give it a 9.8.
2 points docked off just for the camera. Because sometimes with the combat, yep. It's really hard to follow where your enemy is sometimes. Mm-hmm. But I've kind of adjusted to that and gotten better with it. So
Yeah, same.
I just figured it out today. I'm like, oh.
Yeah, it is frustrating that there's no the lock on. I can't believe they don't have it. But maybe, you know, the only thing that I kind of, I guess, justify why they don't have it is perhaps it's part of that immersion where you're, you know, really supposed to be, mm-hmm. makes it fluid. You know, like you're correct. Yeah, it makes it fluid. Absolutely. Yeah. I would much rather keep that fluidity of changing between the stances. That's truly one of the joys for me playing this game is just like, boom, spear guy, gotcha. You know, shield guy, nailed it. Oh. You know what I mean? So it's great. Yeah. But that's the only thing really so far. You know, I've run into some things that you run into because it's a video game, but that is the one mechanic I wish was in there. And that's the reason I give it a 9.8 as well.
Yeah. So. What'd you give it, Prime? What do you think so far? I mean, you're what? Into Act 2?
Yeah. A third of Act 2. I'm probably going to give a 9.82 as well. I'm sorry, 9.8 as well. Maybe 9.9 because the camera thing was never really a big deal for me. So yeah.
Would you put it above Witcher for you?
No.
No.
For the fact that Witcher 3's story is...
It's so good.
It's so good.
just wait, bro. Just wait.
It takes a little... No, no. I've played Witcher, so you can't say that. In the DLCs, but man, the story in Witcher 3—it's hard to explain it because it's. Think of putting all of the Mass Effects together into one story. That's Witcher 3, but in the old sword fighting magic days. But I can deeply appreciate the story that's in Ghost right now. It's very, very good. So,
I think it's not dangerous, but it's a little bit like comparing apples and oranges when it comes to Ghost and Witcher. And the reason I say that is because so far I've noticed there's no choices. It's not really quite the same. Like I'm not finding that too. Do I pick between Yen and Triss? That's very big for me. When I'm doing the DLCs, do I choose this thing over here or do I choose this thing over here? Now, I haven't gotten into Act 3. I haven't finished Act 2 of Tsushima. So I might find that if there's choices that I've been making behind me that I don't know may play into the ending. I'm not sure. But from what I can tell so far is that it's a little bit more linear than games like Witcher, but I think what makes it different is that yes, it's more linear because I'm not seeing some of those decision making, you know, trees or whatever that you would see when you're playing Witcher or Mass Effect or any game like that. Honestly, Tsushima feels more like Horizon Zero Dawn to me. It's the same kind of thing. Aloy's not going, there's no romancing, there's no like, let me do this over here and it affects this over here. There's a beginning, middle, and end, and but there's still open world, so there's still stuff for you to go explore. So that's where it feels the same. But Horizon is in my top five, so is Witcher. So Tsushima is very quickly approach. I mean, it's in my top 10 already. I don't know if it can make my top five. My top five's pretty solid. But yeah. They're great games. It's a great game, rather.
Yeah.
So.
All right. Yeah. So, I mean, we're seeing in chat no 10-10s from Fake, but I mean, Fake, I could probably pretty easily make it a 10-10. I mean, with the fact that, I mean, I haven't finished the story, but the way it's going, I think I'm slightly ahead of both of y'all in the story. But the way that it's going and potential things I could see happening, I am, especially with the twist at the end of Act One, if there's more stuff like that, oh man.
Oh, I'm still sad about it.
Dude, oh, so many good things. So many good things. But, all right, guys. Well, any other closing thoughts before we wrap this thing up? Because we kind of got a little long-winded with Xbox and then Ghost.
I mean, there was a lot to go over.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Only closing thought is that Xbox conference is probably the best conference we've had this year.
I think so.
During the whole thing. And Sony... exclusives or not, they better come back with something strong, or they're going to come starting out the gate like really bad, man.
Yeah. The exclusives are great, but they're not enough. They're not. And that's coming from a huge Horizon fan. Mm-hmm. And Spider-Man fan. But my closing thought is, I do think that once a lot of us finish the game, it is definitely going to be really fun to explore our thoughts on it again. So, because right now, you know, the conversation was kind of short because we're all still working through it. But I think that once we're all done,
it'll be really cool.
Yeah, to avoid spoilers. But I think it'll be really cool to compare it to our favorite games. A lot of us have very similar favorite games. I mean, Mule is missing Witcher, but that's fine. So, you know, you can.
You're missing Fable. It's okay.
GG. No, that's good. That's you're totally. I can accept that I'm missing that. You're over here like, no, Witcher sucks. So whatever. No, I think it'll be really interesting to speak about what we all think as we all finish.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. Closing thoughts. I'm with you on Ghost. It's amazing, but I can't wait to discuss it after I finish it.
Yeah.
And as far as Xbox, Sony's going to have to make some changes because Xbox is changing things. But I'm excited for these changes. And also excited because the Gamertag Radio Boys were talking with Aaron Greenberg today, and he said this conference was a big deal, but there's still some more stuff to share. So I'm really excited to see what they have to announce and talk about for the rest of the year. They said they didn't hold all their big guns for later, but they have more. So I'm excited.
Woo. Yeah, there's a few games throughout these pressers that I'm like, where are they? Gods and Monsters. Yeah. So I'm really waiting to see like when these other games get given to us. So.
Yep.
Awesome.
Last thing, like I was actually really surprised to see, it's not a partnership, but they're doing stuff with Bungie that Microsoft is doing. They're going back. Well, I wouldn't say going back to where they were, but it's like the fact that they're working together. Bungie's still on their own, but they're doing more, and they're not doing exclusives. So, and I don't want Bungie to be doing like the old D1 PS4 or PS exclusive stuff. But the fact that they're coming in and doing stuff like putting everything on Game Pass is really amazing, and I'm really happy to see stuff like that. That was one of the biggest things to just... A lot of things are just coming together like how I feel like I want them.
Good.
And I got to see more things than I was expecting. Like, I wanted certain things, but I was really happy with what I saw. There wasn't, like... We didn't have a ton of games shown off, but
right.
I'm happy with what I saw today.
Right on, man.
Me too. Agree.
Absolutely agree.
Awesome. Well, thank all you guys for tuning in to the live version of the podcast, and all you guys are watching it on YouTube, and everyone that's listening to it, the audio version. We really do appreciate it, guys. And if you like the podcast, make sure you visit MuleHornGaming.com about page to find more great content creators there. And if you're looking for some Mule swag, then visit our store page on the website as well. And if you would, like us on Facebook, leave us a review on iTunes, and you can follow us all on Twitter. Remember, guys, when in doubt, blow it up!
Blow it up!
Blow it up!
Explode. explosion.